Good morning.
Oh, you...
Hey,
you,
this is Scott Mitchell. Sorry we're delayed coming on. I had a little bit of trouble with my mics. I apologize for that. Anyway, this is Scott Mitchell coming to you again from WBRO. We're glad to have you on the air, and I'll learn all these technical things later and stop making these mistakes. This is a radio program we started last week called Let the Bible Speak, and I've been working with the congregation out of El Bethel. Most of you in Crawford County know where that is, just past the high school on 66, formerly known as the El Bethel Baptist Church. We now refer to ourselves as the church at El Bethel. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about authority, and it wasn't necessarily, displaying a lot of love, I guess. My wife and I talked about that, and this week we're going to shift gears a little bit. The reason I did that last week is I'm going to make sure everybody knows how I'm going to be responding to the Bible and the questions that are asked and that sort of thing. And we just want to make sure we're doing these things right and doing things the way they ought to be done. So I'm trying to get my radio feet under me. I want this to become more casual conversation. I've got a friend of mine here named Theron Hall, who now lives in Louisville. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, Theron, how long we've been friends. How long do you think?
We probably first met around 2001 when I first moved into the Louisville area, and I was working down there in Greenville area,
yeah,
as you recall.
So what we want to do this morning is kind of talk about how we found the truth, how we became Christians, and what happened in our lives to help us do that. It's kind of interesting because when you talk about Jesus anymore, if you ever watched the movie Remember the Titans, there's a line in that movie where the coach looks at a player and says, "You must be outside your mind." And a lot of times when I mention what we're, you know, Jesus to people, that's how they look at me. And we've got to overcome those things and help people to understand that this is real and this is something we can rely on. And so that's what we're going to try to do this morning, to try to make it real for people. I think Theron and his daughter Priscilla are here, and they've got some practice catchphrases and things they want to throw at us later. I have no idea what he's going to do, so God help us all.
Good luck.
So if you want to call in, I'm going to try to do this about every 10 minutes, if I can remember. That's part of getting my radio feet under. About every 10 minutes, I'm going to give the radio station and phone number. The phone number, if you want to call in, is 812-365-9864. So if we say something you agree with, if we say something you don't agree with, and if we say something you're not sure about, call in. If you don't want to call and want to send in a question through the mail, you can send it to me at Scott Mitchell at 1685 Marvey Lane, Northeast, Palmyra, Indiana, 47164. And I'll give that out again later, too, if you want that. So I'm going to let Theron introduce himself, and we'll get started with our discussion about some things. So, Theron, why don't you tell us about you? Most people around here know who I am, so let's find out who you are.
And they know you and love you, as they should, Scott. So before I get into my own background a little bit, tell you who I am, I'm going to take a quick opportunity to embarrass Scott here a little bit, because he may be new to some folks who are listening online, but those of us who know Scott and love him really appreciate Scott's heart. And so one of the things that I really appreciate about Scott is he is 100% Scott. There is no, if he tells you something, he's completely straight about it. He's never putting on airs. And one of the things that I've really appreciated about Scott, when he steps up and he proclaims the word, he's always speaking very sincerely from his heart. He's not trying to be flamboyant. He's not trying to put on airs. Scott is just Scott 100%. And you know where he's coming from. And I think his sincerity really comes in when you do hear him preach. Many of us who know Scott well heard that he had this opportunity to preach, we were so excited. Not for Scott as much as for the people that will get to hear him, because let's face it, I mean, he is solidly biblical in his teaching. He's grounded in the truth, but Scott is just, you're unique almost in a way, Scott, because you are so sincere, so from the heart. And people can really relate to that. And one of the things that I remember when he talks about where he came from is that he says, you know, he was just a lost soul. He was a lost ball in tall weeds, as you like to say. Mm-hmm. And he is eternally grateful for those who stepped aside to teach him the truth of the gospel, tell him about the love of God, the power and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And he's very, very grateful for those folks that took that time. And above all, he's grateful to our God and Father for having the love for mankind to sacrifice his son. And so, I want to embarrass Scott a little bit, but for those of you that don't know Scott well, he really is a gem. And I feel honored to be able to call him a friend, honestly. And I consider him my best friend. Of course, I don't have too many friends, so that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot,
Can we move on to you now?
I'm not done. I got to pour more compliments on Scott.
We've only got 50 minutes left.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, there was too much after the loving that we had to wait on to start the program. So, about myself, as Scott alluded to, we've known each other since probably about 2001, when we first met. I am electrical engineer, do a lot of embedded software, a little bit of hardware from time to time. I have done a little bit of speaking. I have spoken at a conference. I've done a podcast, and like a lot of folks, I've done a fair amount of preaching and so on. I will concede that I've actually been a big fan of voice work, voice acting, and I've actually had an interest in radio for a long time, so I was kind of excited to have the opportunity to be on the radio. I've been on other mediums, but not the radio specifically. Yeah. But let me share something with you, and I think I really am speaking for Scott in this regard, in that when I speak, I speak of an altruistic speaking. There was a time when people would go and speak, and it was all about them. You were honored that they would come and present their great knowledge to you. But that's not the way the gospel works, and that's not the way speaking is meant to work. It's about the listener and making a difference. And I believe that gospel preaching, when you talk about the different parts of speech, different types of speeches, mm-hmm. there's informational speeches, there's motivational speeches. But you can be informational when you share the truth of the Bible, the truth of the gospel. But in the end, all of those are meant to be motivational. They're meant to change lives. And I think, Scott, you personify that, because everything you do, you're doing for your listener. You're not here because Scott Mitchell loves to hear his own voice, unlike Farron, who obviously does. But that's not so funny, Priscilla. Shush. But you really are here because you want to make a difference in people's lives. And you know what it's like to be on the other side. And going back to that, I do want to... I'll tell you what. Scott, I'll let you take the lead here.
Sure.
And that's kind of me in a nutshell. Well, and we want to talk a little bit, too, about what the gospel's meant to us. Because both of us came from not really knowing what the gospel was. And maybe some exposure to church.
How old were you when you became a Christian?
19. Well, I was 19 when I first understood the gospel.
Okay.
Which is what I'm going to really speak to. Yeah.
I was around 22. So yeah. What I want to do, I'm going to read you a quote from C.S. Lewis in a minute. To kind of frame our thoughts. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 1 and explain some things about myself. Now, if you all know me, I grew up behind the hills there, on the hills behind Tazewell on the farm, and had creation all around me all the time and paid absolutely no attention to it. I watched calves be born. I watched chicks hatch. I countless wasp nest and yellow jacket's nest I've run across. But I never paid any attention to any of the design or any of the just the beauty of it all, really. Never really fully appreciated that. But let me read Romans from Romans chapter 1 real quick, and I'm going to talk about these verses a second. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So let me read this quote from C.S. Lewis. And what I said, like, I don't know if I said this last week or not, but we all have to come to a decision about who Jesus is. He's either, and I'm going to say what how I normally say it, and I'm going to read C.S. Lewis's quote. He says it much more poetically than I do. I've always said Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or who he claims to be. And because, and when you hear this quote, you'll understand, but this is what C.S. Lewis had to say about this. And if you know C.S. Lewis, he's considered a Christian writer, and did a lot of good works with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and those kind of books, if you've heard of those. This is what he says. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. And this is what he says people say. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he didn't intend to. So the question is, what do we do with Jesus? Historically, he's proven to be a real person. The staunchest atheist out there does not deny that Jesus Christ was a living human being. So what that boils down to, really, is the resurrection. Did it happen or did it not? And so what we got to figure out is, how do we for ourselves find out who he is? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, again, if you're just joining us, this is Scott Mitchell with a program called Let the Bible Speak. And this is a call-in show. So if you want to call in, the number is 812-365-9864. Theron, I want you to take a moment and explain how you came to be or came to know the gospel for what it really is.
Right. And if you don't mind, Scott, I would actually like to start with God's
sure.
word.
That's where we should start.
Absolutely. And I think, and ironically, the passages I'm going to read were not Bible verses I had read at the time that the light bulb went off. And I really realized this is what the gospel's about. But I also think that this really speaks to the truth that I realized when I sat down and actually tried to read the gospel. Starting, of course, with Matthew. So this is actually from 1 John. It's chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, that's 1 John, chapter 4, 7 through 16. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So I wanted to kind of go there because, to give you a little bit of background, I had some exposure to church, per se, as a young man, but not on a regular basis. I didn't really grow up in any kind of a denomination or a church, even though I attended church from time to time. And so I didn't really know what the gospel was. I thought, well, maybe it is, God's this guy up in heaven that kind of doesn't want you to have any fun, right? I mean, he's the guy that says, okay, you're naughty. Well, you can go to hell for that, that kind of thing. I think that was kind of a common, it's kind of a common understanding for folks that haven't really been explained what the gospel is truly about. And so basically I started college, Purdue. I started college, and at some point I was motivated to actually try to read the Bible. And I can remember.
What caused you to do that?
That's a good question. Basically, I was dating a gal that went to church, and I thought, okay, well, what do I believe? I mean, and that's not an uncommon story, but I was, and so I thought, oh, well, she goes to church on a regular basis. You know, what do I believe? And so I just said, I'm going to read the Bible, and I started reading it, and it was the first time that I was really understanding. Wait a minute, who is Jesus now? What is he about? And, I kind of teared up a little reading those passages, because it was reminding me of that moment, really, where I had, as a young man, I had said, don't ask me why I thought this way, but I always kind of thought, why isn't the world about helping one another and reaching out to one another and just loving one another? Mm-hmm. And my observation, frankly, was, well, there's some of that, but by and large, it's dog eat dog and all for yourself, and what can I get out of life, and what's it's all about me. And so I was seeing this, and it was discouraging. But then I looked, and the light bulb went off, because I realized, that thing that I was hoping for, the thing that I said, why can't this be the reality, is the Creator's wish for all of mankind. Mm-hmm. And in the end, despite the broken world that we live in, full of backstabbing and people who use their free will to harm and to hurt one another and just be flat out selfish, God's desire, our Creator's desire, is that we love one another. Mm-hmm. And I just said, yes. Thank you, God, that I did not know this. I did not understand that my instincts were kind of in the right direction. Yeah. That's what our Creator wants for us. And it's funny, I'm not sure I've ever told anybody this story, mm-hmm. but I've been thinking, I don't know why. I really should be talking about it, because in the end, as we've talked about today, it is, God's story is a story of God's love for us. Yeah. And I really, and it's my wish, I'm sure it is your, as well, sure. Scott, that we can do the best we can to kind of help folks understand that. Because all we can do is give honor to God. Yeah. Ultimately, He's the one that's going to get any glory, and that's our prayer for your program, obviously, Scott. Yeah. So,
well, I had never heard that.
Yeah, I've never told. I don't think I've ever. I may have told somebody back when it happened.
So your best friend. I've never heard that story. But as far as I have something else there, and I have in common is that. And really, if we weren't Christians, I don't know that we'd have a whole lot in common, just because we are so different. But we were both dating girls that went to church, and that's why we both started studying the Bible.
Yeah,
and that's why I did. But I, Tina's my wife, who I can't talk about her right now. I'll probably cry. But she, if you've ever heard that country song, "Head Over Boots for You," I have a terrific wife, and she's been amazing for me and my kids, and I can't say enough. But I'm gonna move on before I cry. I went to church with her. Her stepmom said, "Scott, do you mind going to somebody else's church?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't have one of my own. I guess I can go." I mean, I wasn't looking for anything necessarily, but we visited over at Galena, and a guy named Jeff Corey said, "Scott, do you want to study?" And I'm like, sure. You know, I had no idea what I was doing or why I was doing it. And so I spent over a year every Thursday night at his house, and his wife would make cookies or cake or pie or something and feed us while we studied. And no one ever said to me, I mean, how stupid are you? Why can't you see what's going on? Nobody ever pushed me. They just gave me time to learn and to absorb it all and think about it. And I don't know when, right now, the thing I like talking about most is science and the evidence is in science. I don't know when that happened. That wasn't then. The things that I don't even remember, really, there wasn't a big click moment for me. It just, all the pieces just kind of started falling into place and nothing else made sense. When I first started teaching down at Patoka, 21 or 22 years ago, I don't know how long it's been, I noticed in the Indiana history book that the very first words in that book were billions of years ago. And that struck me as kind of odd for a social studies book, but those were the very first words in that book. And I don't know if that kind of sparked in me an idea to start learning more about that. But in the last 28 years, I just keep studying. Like I said last week, the more I studied, the more it kind of intrigued me. I was almost, like I said, I was looking kind of for a loophole, but the more I studied, the more I realized there was not a loophole. There are, you know, when you look at the Bible, what I've learned, and I didn't realize for a long time, even after I was a Christian, that the Bible is one story. It's the story of the redemption of mankind, and it's all one unified story, and the whole thing's about Jesus. And I just never realized, you know, I just never really thought about that. So that's kind of where I'm coming from as far as becoming a Christian. But when we look at John chapter 1, I'm going to read a little bit, and I'll let Theron say some more. I'm sure he's got plenty to say about these things. And we talk a lot about these things. We always have talked a lot about these things. But John 1, I can read through 18, but I may not read that much this morning. I'm also reading out of English Standard Version. If you're version specific, you can maybe find one on your smartphone or something like that. But in verse 1 of John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light." Now this is where it starts kind of talking about where I was, and maybe where Theron was as well. In verse 9, says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." And so what I was talking about before, about, you know, growing up on the farm the way we did, and everything we saw, and everything that we witnessed, there is no way, when I look back at what I saw, that I should not have seen that there was something more at play here than an accident. And so that's where, you know, I spent so much time. I mean, I was in the woods. My brother and I chased, with our collie dogs, chased coyotes all over the hillsides back there. We fished and we did all those things. And we saw all these great things. And I just simply didn't see it because I was in this darkness that this verse is talking about. In verse 11 says, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And see, that's really what we, do you really believe that? I mean, even if you're a Christian sitting out there, or claiming to be a Christian, do you believe that? Yeah. If you're not a Christian, yeah, have you ever thought about it? He came and lived on this earth, and as we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of God from the Father, full of grace and truth. It says, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth," not just grace, notice, "grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So those verses really epitomize, I think, where most people are. Mm-hmm. Out there floating around. You think about all the people out there trying to figure out, they're asking questions like, why am I here? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? And see, we all have, and we've talked about this too, Theron, this God-sized hole in mm-hmm. our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we're all trying to fill it with something and try to make ourselves feel better. And if we don't fill it with the right thing, we're just confused for our whole lives, and that's the way I was. Now, Theron, have you had that kind of experience as far as filling that emptiness and not knowing how to fill it? I guess that's where you were when you were about 19 trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that right there says it all. Is, you know, I think for some folks it's a little different. Mm-hmm. But for me, that analogy of stepping out of the darkness into the light is 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. I don't question that reality because that's where I was. You know, I was, as you say, that lost ball mm-hmm. in tall weeds. I was a lost soul in the darkness. And so when I saw the gospel light, I stepped into the light. There was no question. And I think, and to just to share some thoughts here too on that, I think sometimes folks that kind of grow up within the teaching don't necessarily see that contrast as clearly as those of us who came out of the darkness do. And I'm not sure how to solve that per se, but they need to understand it because that is the reality. When the Bible talks about walking in the light, I mean, it's a very real thing.
Yeah.
And walking in the knowledge of God. And you know, the story that I shared was kind of the beginning, obviously, of my, you know, my spiritual journey. And it led to, obviously, understanding exactly what you're talking about. Yes, God loves his creation, but how does he do it? Mm-hmm. You know, God is personality. Yeah. As we are like God, we have personality, right?
Yeah.
God has personality, and he's just not this vague entity that just kind of floats off in the ether. He interacts with mankind, and he speaks to us in his word, and he interacts with his people, and unquestionably, he reached in the creation with his son Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that is, as Christians, all of our hope centers on Christ. In fact, when you really look at the Bible, they say, you know, the New Testament speaks of Christ, but the Old Testament speaks towards Christ.
Yeah.
Right, and foretells his coming. And it is, like you say, it is the redemption story of man, of God reaching across this void and pulling up people, wanting to pull all people to him.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
Let me take a moment, too. I said I was going to do this about every 10 minutes. If you're just joining us, again, this is Scott Mitchell with Theron Hall on WBRO 89.9 FM with a program called Let the Bible Speak. And the phone number, if you want to call in, is 812-365-9864. And I'm going to confess something right now. I've not gotten a phone call here yet. So if I do get a phone call and it doesn't work right, I may have to call Sean Scott and ask for some assistance and then figure out how to do this. But we're learning as we go on this. And I appreciate the opportunity from Sean to let me be here and do this show. Let me ask you a question about faith.
Yes.
People will say that we as Christians are have a blind faith. That it's a leap of faith off the cliff that, you know, I've heard really smart professors say that if you're a Christian, then you are weak-minded and you have to believe that there's something bigger than you out there because, you know, you're just insignificant. You're not smart enough to figure out what's going on. So talk to me as an engineer about this blind faith thing people talk about.
Now, I'm going to turn a question back on you, Scott.
No.
I apologize. Well, I will. Why do you ask me that question?
Because you're smarter than me.
No.
Now, here's why I say that.
No.
Okay, here we go. I bought Theron a coffee cup one time, just so you know.
I know where we're going.
Okay.
I'm going to get you back.
His wife will back me up on this. My wife's really smart. Really smart. And
she is.
Theron is really smart. And he'll say something when he's not done it much since I told him this, and I wasn't doing it to hurt his feelings, but he would say to me,
I know where
he goes, well, Tina will understand this. And so I'm like, so I bought him a coffee cup, and on the coffee cup it says, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. So that's the why I bought that cup for him. But that's not why I'm asking. I'm asking because your realm of knowledge, what you've lived and what you've seen, is different than mine. And so, yeah. I don't have a blind faith. I feel like I've got more evidence for what I believe than what anybody else has.
So,
how do we explain that to people to help them understand that?
Well, and the reason I actually push back just a little bit is because you really pegged me, right? Because I have to admit, when it comes to matters of faith, I kind of have to soak it. I kind of have to reflect on it. I have to think on it, and I really have to absorb it. I'm an engineer. I'm a pretty big introvert, right? Mm-hmm. So I really have to internalize things. And so, Scott, one thing I love about you is when God's word comes to you and you hear it, you say, that's it, we're doing it, and you're done. You move, and I really honestly admire that. I'm just one of those guys, I've got to cheer myself into it. I got to really ponder it, you know? And sometimes I wish I wasn't that way, but that's the reality. And so when somebody says, well, you know, Theron, you have a blind faith. I'm like, no, I don't have a blind faith at all. I have a faith that's grounded on evidence. It's grounded on the reality. It's grounded on a history of the gospel, of God's gospel changing lives in ways that nothing else has. Mm-hmm. And so I look at the Bible and I think, look at all the internal evidence. And we're not going to do that on this show.
No, maybe but, next week.
Well, I am out next week, but maybe you'll get somebody smarter than me in next week. We'll be in Cincinnati at a convention. Right. But there are so many evidence that you can point to. But I assure you, a Christian's faith, if it's rooted on the Bible, on God's revealed will and word for his people, if it's built on that foundation, I assure you, it is not a blind faith. It is a well-educated faith. Now, that's not to say that faith is not an element of what we are as Christians.
Sure.
I mean, you really have to get the point to say, you know what, I believe in something that is that I can't just grab at this instant. I can't say, oh, there's God, he's over in the corner. Or there's God, his face is painted across. Now, I would argue that his face is. I would look at Romans 1, I believe it's 25, that talks about we can look at creation and we can see the evidence.
Yeah.
And it is clear. And it's kind of like you were talking about earlier. When you were out in creation, you just took it for granted. But when you stop and step back, it's like, this stuff is marvelous. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to talk about this. But when you look at life itself, life itself statistically cannot exist. It is miraculous by its very nature.
Yeah.
Right? And so we do not have a blind faith. But then again, I think going back to some of the foundation of your radio program, what is it? If we can do a good job, that's great. But don't take what we say for granted. Mm-hmm. Go to God's word, because that's the standard that we can measure by. And that's what our faith is built on. Yeah. It's not a blind faith. It is an informed faith. Is it faith? Yeah, it's still faith. And do we have some low points where, you know, maybe emotionally, I feel I'm at an emotional low. Well, yeah, but you know what? But we've built our knowledge. We've built our will to where, you know what? We're conditioned to endure those low points as well. Yeah. Because our faith is not blind. And I think that's important. And I think it's a little bit important for me to say this after my initial introduction, because it's easy to say, well, love conquers all. Yes, we're all behind love. Well, a lot of people would rally behind that. But the love that we celebrate and we live every day and try to live every day is the love of God as revealed through the Bible and as executed wonderfully, miraculously, overwhelmingly by Jesus Christ, his Son.
Yeah.
And so that's what we are as Christians. Yeah. And so, no, we don't have a blind faith.
No, that was a really good unrehearsed answer, Theron.
I'm all about unrehearsed answers.
We didn't talk about any of this stuff before we started. We didn't have time, so I'm thankful for that answer, Theron. That's we have to get people to understand what
This is your show, Scott. I just want you to know.
Here's my motive for doing this and for teaching people. And if I can just get people to ask the question of themselves, am I right? Or might I be wrong? What if I'm wrong? Or, you know, and how do I find out if I'm really right? If people will just stop to consider that they might be wrong about something, or why do I think I'm right, and just really study and get them to a good understanding about that, I think we'll all end up in the same place. I mean, I read last week that Ephesians 4, beginning of verse 4, talks about one truth and one God and one faith and all those things. You can go there and look at that. But if there's really one truth, if there's really one faith, then we have to be able, if we're honest with the Word, and we're sincerely looking, and God, if God is who he claims to be, if this, you know, 2 Timothy talks about the word 3:16-17, he talks about all the scripture being inspired. Well, is it or isn't it? You know, I've been called simple-minded. I think you've even called me simple-minded before.
Nah,
not because I'm simple-minded, but because it either is or it isn't. God either is or he's not. Christ is either he claimed to be or he's not. And if he's not, I've got my fishing pole in the back of my truck right now. I told you last week, I'm packing it up. I'm going to grab my son and go down Patoka Lake, and I'm going to fish. Why would I waste my time on something that wasn't real? So what I challenge everyone to do is really honestly study the Bible. Look around at the world. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says about ocean currents. Look at what the Bible says about dinosaurs, because they are there in Job 40. You can go to a lot of it. Look at what the Bible says and make your judgment on what the Bible says. Don't ever say like I did for so long, well, that just can't have happened. It's not real, so I'm not going to bother. Go to the source, study the source, and then make a decision about whether you want to believe it or not, because it's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And here's what really gets people, and maybe you've had to deal with this too, Theron, is when I tell people that no matter where you end up on this decision, it's faith-based.
Yeah.
What we have to decide is where we want to place our faith. Do we want to place our faith in the Bible and what it says, or do we want to place our faith in the only option, which is evolution? So you have to, I mean, those are really the only two options. And so you have to decide where it makes the most sense to place your faith. And I don't know how to do that if we don't study both. And I'm not afraid to study evolution. I'm not afraid of that. So study both and see what makes the most sense. Yeah. And that's all we can do. And Theron, you have anything on that? Now, that's kind of off the cuff a little bit, but this whole thing has been.
Well, I think the topic of evolution is it's challenging in part because it is so commonly taught, right? And it's so commonly accepted. But if you actually go and look at even people within the inner circle, when a Christian says, "Hey, I kind of question this evolution thing. I'm just not sure it adds up," they pretty quickly circle the wagons and say, "Okay, no, evolution. That's the way to go." But when you really get into the inner circles and they talk about some of, trying to apply Darwinian evolution specifically to the evidence, it really does fall apart. And they will admit that within their own inner circle.
Yeah.
That's a whole topic, right?
That's huge.
Maybe one best way to say it is it really requires some better investigation and maybe a little bit of open mind, because after all, you're probably used to saying, well, that's the only logical explanation, right? Mm-hmm. But there really are a lot of holes.
Yeah.
And I really think, I'll share something with you. I went to a talk several years ago. A fellow came in, and you would think he'd come in, he'd quote Bible, right? And as Christians, that'd be authoritative to us. He came in and quoted what the evolutionists were saying about the evidence and how it really wasn't adding up.
Okay.
And it was very compelling. And I actually stood up and asked him the question. I said, now, not as a Christian, but if I were a biology student and I went to the college and I came in contact with this stuff, would I feel like I've been betrayed or misled? Because it's like, oh, this was just fact. This was unquestionable fact. And then you get in the inner circle and they're kind of like, well, you know, all that stuff about the fossil record that Darwin anticipated fell apart. And
it's
yet we still quote him today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say, look, it's such a big topic. We can't address that now. But there's definitely some room for some discussion.
Yeah.
It's not the absolute hard fact that that it's been taught as, for sure. Yeah.
So again, if you're just joining us, this is Scott Mitchell and Theron Hall with the radio program called Let the Bible Speak. And it's a call in. Again, I don't know what I do if I do get a call, but the number is 812-365-9864. And give me a call sometime, and we'll talk about some things. But anyway, if you have questions or concerns, if you disagree with what I've said, that's okay. And I just saw, I think Ray at a Woody's calling my cell phone. I don't know if something's not working right, if she's maybe called. I'll check on that later, Ray. I thank you for being on here. But there's probably something wrong that I don't know about, but that's okay. We'll figure it out.
We may be talking to ourselves.
So anyway, I'm going to give you this. So it's just kind of a stopping point here. You wanted a moment for some.
Oh yeah.
For something, and I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, you want to hear it? Oh, I assure you.
Well,
oh yeah.
Go ahead and we'll.
Okay, so this is kind of a little bit of a segue here. But, you know, this is, of course, Scott's new program, right? This is your second show. And, you know, in the radio industry, you really want to stand out a little bit. You want to use something that's going to grab people's attention, right? So we thought, you know, Priscilla and I did a little bit of work, and we thought we would try to put together some trial like catchphrases and slogans and see how they might sound. We thought, we'll try it on air. We'll see how they do.
Oh, worry.
Okay. Should be a little bit worried, actually. And of course, my pen leaks through, so I can't read what I wrote, but maybe I'll remember. I do want to start with a scripture passage. And this is probably one of my favorite passages from the King James Version. This goes back to 1 Peter 2:9. This is a very good passage, by the way. It reads, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, that last part especially relates to some of what we've been talking about this morning. Now, you know where we're going with this, don't you, Scott?
I'm afraid, yeah.
So we are to be a peculiar people. Now, we use that word a little differently, but it's a legitimate word. It really does mean a called out, a different people. We are to be different. Mm-hmm. Some of us may be a little more different than others. Peculiar may be very apropos, perhaps, for a lot of us. Me in particular, obviously, as I'm sitting here. So we thought, okay, that was the inspiration for some of these slogans. But Scott, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think. So, okay, let's try this one. Scott Mitchell, putting the peculiar in peculiar people. It's catchy, right?
That's
it builds well off that verse. Okay, let's try this one. We are to be a peculiar people, but this? Okay, that one's a little hard. You know, it doesn't read quite as well. Let's try some more. Okay, now I actually need Priscilla to help me with this one. Okay, you ready? Okay, I gotta check my VU meter because I got a loud voice here. Scott Mitchell, let's get this bad boy started. Oh yeah!
What's that supposed to mean again?
That you're awesome, basically. Come on, lighten up. Okay, now this one's a little tough to take. You ready for this one? Okay,
yeah.
Brace yourself. Scott Mitchell, a voice for the pulpit and a face for radio.
That's a good, I like that.
Don't use that one.
That's okay. Good.
Okay, now this one has some backstory, whether you share it or not. Jeff's probably listening, so. Scott Mitchell, a freak of nature,
yeah,
but a force for God. You could use that one. That was probably usable.
So maybe we should ask the people to send in responses to this.
I'd love it, actually. I would really, if people said, hey, I like that one, that's a keeper, or never have Theron back on again, which is probably what you're going to hear. So, okay, let's see. Here's one that you can, there's some backstory to this one as well. Scott Mitchell, the nicest person some people have ever met. Scott knows the backstory there, right? Okay. Now, you can join me in this cheer if you want. Now you know me, right? I have my classic Mitchell's cheer, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you ready? Okay.
I don't know there.
Go Mitchells! Go Mitchells! Scott Mitchell! 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 Go Mitchells! Go Mitchells! Scott Mitchell! 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 There you go.
Okay.
You know that cheer. You heard me yell that many a time.
Oh, my. We spent 3 minutes on that there. And that was
we're not done.
Oh, you're not
we're
done.
We're having more fun.
Okay.
We're not done. We're not. The fun has not ended. Okay. I warned you that this was going to be kind of on the lighthearted side.
You did warn me.
Okay, ready? Hey! It doesn't affect my salvation. Did I read that right?
Yeah, you did.
No, it's not my salvation, right? That's the humorous aspect. Now, that is one of your phrases, though, and I think of that often, quite frankly. That's one. That is a Scottism that we all tend to remember. So, now, this is not real common, but sometimes you kind of encounter like a crossover where you can blend slogans a little bit, especially if you use it as satire. Not that I would, of course, but if you use it as satire, I mean, there are some copyright exemptions to this kind of thing. So
If you're ready, Priscilla, we need this. Now, this would be better if we had like chewing gum, right? If we had chewing gum, I think that would work even better. But let's try it. Let's see if we can pull this off. You ready?
Scott Mitchell's radio program. Finger licking good. Okay. What happened to this introverted engineer that you're talking about earlier?
Oh, you put a mic in front of me and he's gone.
Oh my gosh.
You lose them. I was like, we may have just lost all our listeners, by the way. Both of them. Okay. All right, here we go.
Yeah, this is
okay,
the last
one. Yes, this is the last one. Now, this one's a little more serious. And Priscilla actually came up with this one, so I'm going to give her credit for this one. So, now this one you probably could use. You ready? Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. No ordinary man in an extraordinary radio program. There you go, Scott.
Like
thank you for being a good sport. Thank you for being
that
a good sport, brother. I appreciate that.
All right, now if we can somehow get back on task, I'm not sure how to do that.
You said you want to lighten it up, and I said, "Well, I can help you with that."
Oh my cows! So. Okay, back to our topic of how we came to know Jesus and what did, we've got about 9 minutes left. We're running out of time. This hour has flown.
How did it happen?
I don't know how it happens, but it goes fast. And, you know, I did a lesson last week titled "Who Is Jesus to Us," and it's kind of overwhelming. When you look at what the Bible says about who Jesus is and what Jesus is.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around all these things. And so I think that's one of the things kind of intimidates people is trying to figure these things out. I'm going to read you a list. And this is not an exhaustive list at all about what the Bible says about who Jesus is. Oh, now, the things I talked about last week were, you know, Jesus is the priest and he's a sacrifice, which is kind of strange. He's a shepherd and a lamb. And he's the Savior. He's the Creator and he's the Savior. And so all those things are kind of like, you know, the priest would sacrifice a lamb, so how can he be both of those things?
You're getting
deep
now, Scott.
And, you know, all those kind of weird things kind of have a hard to wrap your mind around. But you see these posters, all these names for Jesus and all those sort of things. But what the Bible says is, you know, he was with God in the beginning. He was made flesh. He was the image of God. He was a mediator. He is a mediator, sorry. He's head over all things. He's the light of the world. He's anointed. He's a shepherd. He's a healer. He's a forgiver. And it goes on and on and on. And so what's interesting about those things is that depending on where we are in our lives, each one of those descriptions will fit us in a different way. And it will respond to it in a different way. And so every time we read the Bible as we grow, we see different parts of this, and that's why we can't ever say, well, I read the Bible once,
right,
and I don't need to read it again.
Right.
Well, no, that's that you. Every time you read it, and Rayetta, Woody and I, and Peggy, Nickel and Ralph Seacat, there are some of the people at All Bethel, and we talk about this, and as we learn, as we read more and study more, we see something different every single time we read a verse, because it depends on what's going on in life and where we are. And so what I want everybody to kind of consider is, where are you, you know, or are you out there feeling like, well, nobody cares. I'm alone in the world and nobody cares. Well, Jesus has a cure for that. If you're out there in the world thinking, well, you know, I'm just a loser. I don't have anything going well for me. I've got nothing. And so I'm just going to give up. I don't want to try anymore. Well, God has an answer for that. And it's interesting. I think Theron might have brought a verse that will apply. Theron, you want to read what you have?
Oh, absolutely. And I even thought about reading this earlier. But when you read the gospel, it's clear. God is reaching out to us. God wants us. But if you doubt that, I'm going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I love it when I hear the pages flipping, right? So, I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Okay.
Go ahead, you're good.
Okay. So, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
Yeah.
Never doubt that God wants you, and that Jesus died for you. Never doubt that.
Yeah.
That is the linchpin, really, of what we are as Christians. And let us never doubt that, because And again, as you say, once we understand that, we got to share that.
Yeah.
We got to, you know, we're a bunch of starving beggars, and we've found food.
Yeah.
We got to tell the other beggars.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think as a school teacher, which is my, would that be profession? I guess
your day job.
Vocation.
It's your day job.
It's anyway. I see the worst side of this. I see the worst side of society.
Yep.
And what kids come to school saying, how they treat people, how they talk. I don't know. In the last week, I have probably been called more bad names than I have in my life. I mean, it's just the way these kids come in. But you know what that, and I don't know what causes all these things. I can't blame just parents. I can't blame just society. I don't know who to blame. There's no one answer to that thing. But I do know this. They're lacking a knowledge of God.
Sure.
I was praying in the cafeteria at the high school a few years ago. I might have said this last week, I don't remember. But I bowed my head over my food and I was praying. And I heard another student slap another kid on the arm, say, "Hey, what is he doing?" This kid had never seen anybody pray before.
Sure.
And so when we remove God, it's one thing to say, you know, that we don't want to know about God, but when we remove God from the society to that extent, there literally is no hope. And so what my intent is just to kind of spread this out there and get people thinking, well, maybe I need to look at this. Maybe I should consider my state. If I can get people to do that, I've done everything I can do. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want to try to do with these things. And so, you know, again, I see a lot of strange things as a school teacher, and you kind of wonder what in the world's going on. But we all see it. You know, you can go to Walmart and see some strange things, how people behave and checkout lines and the way people drive, the way people do things. And like Theron was talking earlier, are we really thinking about other people? When we're out there and acting like, I don't want to say idiot because that seems like a harsh word. But when we're out there acting that way as a society, are we really considering other people's rights? Are we really putting other people first? Are we really trying to put our best foot forward? And I'm going to say most of the time we're not. When I see so many strange things, but like Theron said earlier, when he was looking at this, you know, where is the peace? Where is people want to help each other? Where is the love in this society? Well, it's out there, but we've got to become louder. We've got to become the squeaky wheel. We've got to become the thing people pay attention to. And so we've got to get people talking about these things. Theron, you have anything?
Well, this is a bit of a soapbox of mine, but I think it's something to reflect on as Christians and believers. I think it's, you know, they say every generation complains at all. This new generation, they just don't get it. I think there's plenty of compelling evidence that the U.S. society is becoming less Christian.
Yeah.
Becoming more secular. I think there's plenty of evidence to support that. And that can be both a blessing and a curse, really, because people are less familiar with Christian beliefs, so it's more alien to them. But at the same time, as people fall into darkness, and boy, do we see that. People fall into darkness, the light can shine even brighter. So where in some ways it's harder as Christians, it's harder to sit on the fence and be comfortable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it may open opportunities because people may really see the distinction between light and darkness. We're not in this twilight anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the darkness is really starting to take hold, and so we can shine even brighter in that darkness.
Yeah. We've got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to read one verse to kind of end this thing and do a little closing comment, but I really appreciate the opportunity again. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. I heard Paul Earnhardt talk about this a couple summers ago when he came into El Bethel for a meeting. He's 87 years old, and he's more on fire for Christ than anybody on the planet. But anyway, chapter 1, verse 3. I'll tell that story later. But in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And this is what Paul said, and it struck me and it stuck with me. Paul said, God turned heaven upside down and poured everything out on us. Yeah. And that's exactly what he did. And we've got to consider these things, consider who God is. So if you're listening, and Christian or not Christian, really consider where you are. Do you really accept God as the Creator and Christ as the King? And the Word is the inspired Word of God. And only, and we talked last week about only speaking where the Bible speaks and accepting that truth, and we've got to talk more about those things, what that really means. But consider where you are and how you're responding to these things, and what you need to talk about. If you don't want to talk to me, find somebody you can talk to. If you don't want to study with me, find somebody you can study with. Pick up a Bible and start reading it yourself.
Yeah.
That works, doesn't it, Theron?
Absolutely.
So this is how I'm going to end this thing. Again, we're at El Bethel, at down past the high school. Worship services. Well, actually, Bible class is 9:30 on Sunday morning. Worship service at 10:30. And Bible study on Wednesdays at 7:00, and we are in the fourth chapter of John. If you want to prepare and come be with us, and
or just come
and just hang out and come and see. So this is Scott Mitchell encouraging you to let the Bible speak.
Amen.